We are going through the Revised Common Lectionary, a few things. So the next space that we're going to be looking at, or scripture that we're going to be looking at, is Romans 6, 1 to 11, which is interesting that we're going to be doing baptisms in the near future, in about less than a month. And it's interesting that this scripture speaks about that. So I was like, okay, so now we can, I'm going to kind of look at this scripture in light of baptism. Always need to be doing at least one teaching on baptism a year, as we're reminded of it. So young adults and young people and anyone, just remember, you want to be listening up. If you haven't been baptized, this will be a good teaching opportunity for you to listen on. If you have been baptized, I use the phrase, then it'll remind us of how to live in our baptism daily. And this is kind of what Paul is looking at and getting at when he speaks about this too. So I've entitled it The Symbol and the Mystery of Baptism. But let's read Romans 6, 1 to 11. I'm reading from the NIV. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Verse 5. For if we have been united with him in death like this, like his, we certainly also will be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. Paul, in his theological discourse in Romans, is speaking about what Jesus Christ has done for us in death through the cross, and then also the resurrection. And he points to it in this idea of baptism. And so what I want to look at is trying to understand this in light of baptism. Now, baptism for Jesus was baptized. The scripture we're going to look at for that is Mark 1, 9 to 11, and it'll come up on screen. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, in whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Now, if we look at the baptism of Jesus here, there's a lot to be said about this, but one of the reasons, one of the symbol of baptisms here regarding baptism and this idea that the dove is coming. Now, that's also an allusion to what happened with after the flood when they sent out doves as well. Here, we have Jesus has this, there's this vision that's happening, and there's this message that Christ had replaced Caesar for king of the world. Let me explain this. Where during that time, in that era, they would have thought that Caesar, in a sense, was God. And Caesar was the son of God, or a son of God. And there was this idea that Caesar was Lord. And there was this was the saying that you would have during that time for the Roman Empire. And here, it's not lost on us that during the course of Jesus' baptism, there's this vision in a sense, this imagination that happened where the clouds separate and we have God speaking to Jesus and saying, "This is my son in whom I love. With you I am well pleased." What a beautiful picture juxtaposed to the understanding of the Greek and gods at the time. And here, this is a dove descending on Jesus, not an eagle, not a bird of prey, but a dove, one that represents peace, one that represents, in a sense, gentleness. But also, what comes with it is representative of who Jesus is going to be. Because Jesus is baptized, get this, he wasn't really baptized. When he was baptized, he hadn't done anything of significance. There's nothing really was recorded, except maybe him running away from his parents when he was younger, and he got lost. And he was, but then they found him in the synagogue, and then they found him. But here, all the Gospels have Jesus being baptized just before he does his ministry. And maybe that's a good reminder to us as well. I'm going to talk about baptism a bit. That baptism is also, it could be, in a sense, the start of our journey, the beginning of our journey. Now, some of us might want to be baptized. Maybe we haven't been baptized. I've been a Christian for a long time and haven't been. And that's okay to get baptized now. It's never too late to be baptized. But it's more of the start of this journey. And that's one thing that we can understand and see as well. So, baptism, and the word baptism simply means Greek language. It simply means that it was immersed. It's this idea of baptizo, which means thoroughly change of condition accomplished through immersion. So when they were, let's say, my shirt is, I guess I don't know how they would do it now, but my shirt is blue. And if they wanted to dye a shirt or a garment at that time, they would take a garment and they would immerse it into the dye and it would come up. And that's the word baptism. That's where it came from. So this idea of immersing something fully into something else, that then it would become a part of what it was immersed into, the color. Or it would then identify as a blue shirt. It would identify as a black, whatever it would be. That's where the simple word baptism comes from. It was referred to as being baptized. And so simple for us to just understand it, that baptism is, here's the fill in the blank. Many of you might know this. Anyone, bonus points? You can answer those, fill in those blanks. Baptism is a blank sign of a blank reality. Yeah, outward and inward. It's an outward sign of an inward reality. Yes, look at that. You got it. Give yourself bonus points. Extra to the birthday boy. And so it's an outward sign of an inward reality. So there's these symbols that we have that help us remind us of who we are. And one of the simplest symbols that I have, that many of you have, if you're fortunate to be married, is that we're a wedding ring. And it's a reminder that Sharon and I are committed to one another. And it's the wedding ring that, and that's a symbol. And it's also, in a sense, demonstrating to other people that I am married. This is a beautiful picture. And so baptism, in this way, is an outward sign of an inward reality. The inward reality is what Paul was writing about early in Romans there. That we identify with what has happened, one, what's happening inside us, those of us that are Jesus followers, that we have then, there's this word repenting, where we've turned and gone the other way. We were once going this way, and then we said, no, that we want to go in the way of the cross, go in the way of what God has asked me to do. And in the midst of that, we receive the forgiveness that God has given us. And then what do? We live in the new life that he's given us, even while we're still dying to ourselves. There's some Christianese happening there. But as we live towards what God has for us, many times, even now, at being 55 and being a pastor, I'm having to many times die to my own selfish desires and also selfish, we could think about the in the context of Jesus' baptism with being a robe instead, being a dove instead of an eagle. I'm also dying to what the world would want in the way the world wants to run things, if that makes sense. And yet I move towards this life that Christ has given us. So I go down in the water. So Paul talks about that we're immersed, we go down and we identify with Jesus' death. And then when we come up out of the water, we're raised to the newness of life. And now what? We are changed. Something has happened to us. Now, does that happen at baptism? Does it? For some, it does. For others, it's just a faithful, it's a symbol. I'm going to get baptized because this is what I, so yes and no. And baptism doesn't necessarily save us. Over the years, as I do baptism classes with different people from different maybe traditions, or their different understanding of baptism, quite often, someone will say, "Well, I want to get baptized because I want to be washed of my sins." I'm like, "Well, you probably already are, because we've talked about that, or you made a commitment, and so it's not necessary that the act of that is a symbol of what has already happened." But for me, I've told you some of my story where I was in a class for 10 weeks, and then I didn't get baptized because I realized I shouldn't get baptized because I'm a terrible person. I was 16, I don't know how bad of a person I was, but inside I thought I was. And I looked at everyone around the room, which were all my friends, and I went, "Oh, that person, I knew what they're doing Friday night." And so I was judging them, and I went, "I don't want to get baptized because I don't think I'm living that way, and I don't think I've figured it all out in my head yet." And so I chose not to at the time. And then later on in life, a couple years later, my church loved me so well that I was baptized. And I did have a bit of a woe moment for me. It doesn't happen to everyone. But when I went down, I decided to keep my eyes open, went down under the water, and everything was just murky. And I remember, was it Al Weeb or, I don't know, Brian Penner, whoever the elder was that was lifting me up out of the water. I remember just leaving it open and the lights were on, and then everything just was clear. For me, it was almost like a symbol, but also there was something mysterious that was happening as well, because I believe the Holy Spirit was speaking to me in that way. And I had this amazing, in a sense, almost a feeling, and I started weeping. Because at that point, I just felt like God's grace was so apparent in my life. Interesting enough that the 2 or 3 years earlier, when I was in my lead pastor's baptism class, somehow I just didn't maybe understand grace enough. Because guess what? I probably could have been baptized then as well. Because I had this basic understanding of it. Now, not everyone has experiences like that. Some people will have experience like when they're baptized, then it's like, whoa, it's like, it's really wow. Other people are like, "Yeah, that was awesome, thanks." And it's more of like the people around them that have encouraged them. That's a really good thing. And so the act of baptism is a symbol. It doesn't necessarily, your expectation of what happens at the time, your sins aren't being forgiven again. They were forgiven once. But you're grateful for that. And that's kind of what's happening during that time. And so in the midst of that, we here with our denomination, we practice immersion. So full immersion. Because of the word, they got really technical, meaning if baptism means immersion, then we're immersing people. And so that's why you'll see us with a tank here sometime often, or back at the ministry center. Or a couple of years ago, we went, 2 years ago, we went to Crescent Beach, right? And that's where Elliot was baptized. That's where, like, I think Tony was baptized at Crescent Beach. So we do full immersion. But a person can also be sprinkled, have water poured over them. That's a little messier. So there's some people that might have, like, had the messy kind? No, yeah, right? Poured over you, right? But there's a sense of, baptism. There's some traditions that will baptize children as well in that way. And then there's a confirmation later that gives recognition of the baptism. So here, for a Mennonite brethren, because we are part of the denomination, we immerse ourselves, in a sense, into a new way of living. The new way might be an old way that we always heard through the church, but now we're committing ourselves to that new way, the new way of following Jesus. Every part of us goes under, and every part of us comes up out of the water in a new and living way. So that's why, in a sense, MB Church, as well as us, we would practice full immersion in that way. And I think there's also ways to not necessarily do that in case people, not everyone's able to do that. So we want to be respectful of that. So, but there's this beautiful picture, I think, with baptism that there's this phrase I wrote down here, that God has fully embraced me, and now I'm deciding, or I'm declaring, I'm me, and baptism is my declaration of that. So when you think of baptism, when we see a baptism on the 12th, when you see that, what a beautiful picture. I'm fully immersed. The love of God fully surrounds me, even in death, even in the midst of sin, fully surrounds me. And I come up out of the water into this new life that Jesus is going to give me. And now I'm declaring that and walking in this way. So next fill in the blank is this. Can you bring up the next one? Baptism is not, but it is. Might be a little, they both words start with M. Okay, should I say the first word or the second word? Everyone was like, so baptism's not magical, but it is maybe mysterious. Yeah. Not magical, mysterious. Meaning, there's something also that happens, I believe, that is a mysterious, because this is who we talked about. We did a whole teaching on our mysterious hope found in Jesus Christ. There's something mysterious happens in and through us through the forgiveness of sins and moving us towards a new life. Of course there is. That's the Holy Spirit working in and through us. But it's not magical in the sense of, if I do this, I get that. No. We don't conjure up what we want God to do for us. We're obedient to do what God has asked us to do. And so in the midst of that, something mysterious can happen. So what I'm trying to get at, it's not just symbol. Perfect timing. It's not just symbol. There's also some mystery that happens and is linked to it as well. Christian baptism conveys a new identity. Baptism is not a mere symbol, but also, one author says, it's like a sacred portal. Sacred portal to the divine revealed through Jesus Christ on how to live. But not just how to live. It's a divine portal into this grace-filled world that we now live and breathe and have our being in. That then we then can offer this grace-filled world to everyone. We want to plunge our way into the living, into God's way of things, into God's ethics. And we're dying to ourselves in sin, and then we're rising up out of the water to a new life, a new way of living that says, Jesus is Lord, and Caesar is not. Jesus is Lord, and the world is not. Jesus is Lord, and you put in whoever else is not. But Jesus is Lord. I'm going to read a bit of a longer quotation here. It won't be on the screen. Speaking about this. And I think I always try to refer to this when I do baptism classes. We are from the future. In a world devout of imagination and dominated by the way it's always been, we are to be a prophetic witness to otherness and holy imagination. We reject the pretentious claims of the principalities and powers that the way of this world is presently arranged is the way that it has to be. The principalities and the powers committed to the status quo say that poverty is inevitable, that war is unavoidable, that exploitation of the weak by the strong is inescapable. But we refuse to acquiesce to all of that. Why? Because we have heard the song of the prophets. We have seen the vision that John saw. We have believed that the gospel and the apostles, what the gospel and the apostles proclaimed. We believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. We have an imagination by the Holy Spirit, and we believe the world to come, not just the world that is. We are from the future, and we live with heaven in mind, heaven that is revealing itself here on earth now through the church. What a beautiful picture of catching an imagination. We sang that, those songs. God, give us a vision. Give us a vision of who you are. Why do we ask that? We ask for a vision of who we are so that we can be changed and transformed, and our imagination can get us thinking other than otherness. He talks about otherness, other than the way it always has to be. Tit for tat, punch for punch. No, the vision is of a grace-filled, a grace-sovereign world, which is a beautiful picture. The way the message does that, we are going to pull this up now, Sarah. And the message is an interpretation, it is a paraphrase of the Bible. We're going to read those same verses in Romans 6 with the message here. I think it's up. If you go to, not there, go back to the message. It's the rolling scripture, the one I said not to do earlier, which you didn't do, which is now, which is on. Yes, great. So what do we do? Do we keep on sinning so God can keep on forgiving? I should hope not. If we left the country where sin is sovereign, how can we still live in our old house there? Or didn't you realize we packed up there and left for good? That is what happened in baptism. When we went under the water, we left our old country of sin behind. When we came up out of the water, we entered into a new community of grace, a new life in a new land. That is what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we are lowered in the water, it's like the burial of Jesus. When we're raised up out of the water, it is like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father so that we can see where we're going in a new grace-sovereign country. Beautiful. Could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross. With Christ, a decisive end to that sin-miserable life, no longer captive to sin's demands. What we believe is this: if we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, we also get included in his life-saving resurrection. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end of death as it end. Never again will death have the last word. When Jesus died, he took sin down with him. Amen. But alive, he brings God down to us. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue, and you hang on every word. You are dead to sin and alive to God. That's what Jesus did. What a picture of imagination. The imagination that would transform our mind and hopefully grip our heart, and hopefully that the Holy Spirit works in and through us, that we as a people, obviously not do it perfectly, but do it faithfully, say that sin is dead. That language is not, we want to be listening to the one, listening to the one who's playing a song that's so utterly different than how the world operates, how the principalities and the powers operate. So in baptism, when do we get baptized? What does it mean? How does that work? You're going to see a couple kids that are going to be pretty young that are going to be baptized on that Saturday. Some people, I wish Bev was here. She has this great story of her being baptized. I think she was 86 when she got baptized. I'll confirm that. But it was like amazing. And yet that was part of her journey, right? And here it is at different times, at different spaces, in different places. But you're going to see, but I'm going to read from our confession of faith here, being a good Mennonite brother in here. Not always, but today I will. And this is, our confession of faith is really only, it's only really one page, but then we have a lot of smart people that puts interpretation of it and made, I think it's 242 pages now. And so it's actually quite helpful. We can laugh at it, but you also, which I do quite often, but it's also helpful because it's all, you're always wrestling with what does the word say and how do I interpret it and how do we live in this way? And again, this is just one denomination of 47,000, okay? And here you are. But who can be baptized? It says this. In Scripture, baptism belongs at the beginning of the journey of the Christian discipleship, and it serves as an entry point into the covenant community for the believer. It is not a graduation ceremony that is reserved for the spiritually mature. See, for me, I thought I had to be spiritually mature before I got baptized. That's why I waited. In the end, it all worked out to be good. And as you read this, basically it says if you have a basic understanding of what Jesus did for you and you're making that choice for yourself, get baptized. And so putting out the plug for you, if you want to be baptized, all of a sudden that morning you have and you said, well, Kevin, I didn't take a class. Well, you did today. We haven't done a lot of spontaneous ones before, but you can talk to us about it. And if this is something that you want to move towards, we'd love to do this. But just a reminder that it's kind of at the beginning of your journey. It's not just always, and it might happen like some, maybe when you're 86. I'm not sure. But it's encouragement to us that we don't have to have our life all figured out. You don't have to think about that. We have all my theology sorted out in 242 words. No. If you understand and believe that God's grace through Jesus Christ is fully available to you, that you've made a decision, in a sense, to repent and not go your way anymore, but go the way of God revealed in Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, the forgiveness of your sins, and the redemption of creation of the entire world. And now the newness of life and resurrection he gives to us to be able to live out this life with the imagination of the living God that wants us to allow everyone to flourish. Hey, we would love to dunk you. And But it's not just that. We want to continue to walk with you because we think you would be an important person in this community to continue to give us ideas how to do this and how to live in a way that points to Jesus. So, there you have it. So, we're declaring that we're following Jesus. He's now Lord of our lives. And we're aligning ourselves with his kingdom and his way here on earth. When we are given, when we are, in a sense, baptized, we begin to advocate for others, just as the Holy Spirit advocates for us. In the same way, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, continues to advocate for all of us. And we live in the way of Jesus. And that way is one that is represented by humility, forgiveness, self-sacrifice, service to others, gentleness, kindness, the fruit of the Spirit that we talked about last week. It looks beautiful. And it's actually usually not that flashy. But we are so super excited that we're able to baptize in July. A couple of our kids that have said yes to Jesus. And baptism, the reminder that baptism looks more like a gentle dove, not like an eagle that comes to take and dominate, but one that comes to give and envelop you and remind you of a God who is so incredibly gracious towards you. Let's pray. God, thank you for this reminder in Romans 6 of our baptism, those of us that have been baptized. Thank you for that reminder that we are to live in the newness of life, that you want to lead us in that. You want to help us partner alongside with you to help others flourish. God, would you continue to remind us and that sin is dead to us. It's a dead language, that we've left that behind. Thank you for your ongoing forgiveness of sins in our own life, but also thank you for the way that you wanted to move us into ways that look more and more like Jesus. And for those of us that are wondering and thinking about baptism, pray you continue to work in and through us. For those that are wanting to know more, I pray your Holy Spirit would work and would speak to them and encourage them, and that, you would work in and through them. Thank you for this opportunity to be here today, to look into your word, and to be reminded of your good grace. We pray this in your name, Jesus.